Morning. God is good, amen. Even if he's not good, then what? Then you're lying. Right? He's good all the time, amen. Let's try that again. God is good, amen. And if he's not good, then you're lying. Yeah, welcome to Christ Community Church. Really is a blessing to be here. Turn me down a hair before I start giving some feedback. Man, it's a beautiful Sunday morning. You know, it's one of my Sunday is my hands down my favorite day because it's the day that we get to gather, we get to worship, we get to hear from His Word. And I'll tell you what, it's a long day, but it's a blessed day. Amen. You know, I have a saying, I have a thing in my family, or Stephanie's heard me say this a lot, that God made us for work, and when we work, we feel God's pleasure. Amen. Like that Waymaker song, that's my brother and I's. That's our song. Even when you don't see it, we're working, you know. It's Jesus' song too. So some of you guys that are taking it easy, wives, you have my permission to use that song. Hey, Jesus was always working. That means, oh, just laying on the couch. I'll do it later. I don't know. No, even when you don't feel like it, Jesus is working. Amen? Sorry, men. There it is. You can write me an email or text me. But we're made to be in the image of God, amen? And I really mean that when we're walking in His purpose, we feel His joy. And that doesn't happen from the couch. It means that we go out, and we're serving, and we're doing what God has called us to do. So just a little bit of encouragement there. But today's message is called Inside Out. Inside Out. And I'm not talking about the movie with all the emotions and that kind of stuff. That's a cool movie. But we're going to be talking about what God came to do to transform us from the inside out. And you guys see a bunch of stuff that I have here. We're going to be using that later for object lesson. If one of you guys starts falling asleep, you might just get an orange up to the head. You know what I mean? Like when I used to pick oranges back in the day. My brother and I, we'd be picking oranges. We'd be talking. And then you would just hear oranges rain down like rapid fire. My dad, I don't know how he did it. He's like, oh, got me. No talking. More working. Amen. That's what I tell you. Even when you don't see me, we're working. But no, I'm kidding. We'll be doing some stuff with that later. Because I believe that, you know, there's the reason why we write things down, the reason why we bring object lessons is because not everybody learns through the ear. How many of you guys learn when somebody talks to you? Like, audio is your number one way of learning. Anybody here? One person? Is that true, sister? She said no. She says, Tony, she has to pull on the ear first and then get you to listen. That's why you got big ears. That's right. That's right. Your ears and your nose are the only thing that keep, I don't know if you know that, but they continue to grow as you get older. It's true. But no, I do learn by audio. My wife is going to say, lies. But I always tell her what I said. Make sure that you have the whites of my eyes. Because if not, like I need to see and hear. With both ears, I guess, right? Then you have my undivided attention. So, but yes, I'm a audio learner. But some of you guys are visual learners, which is why we sometimes bring visuals. Some of you guys learn by motion, right? Which is why we do the fill in the blanks. Because if you don't write this down by Tuesday, you will have forgotten 95% of the words that I have said today. You believe that? That's true, right? This is why you write it down and you put it on the fridge. That way every time you go get a snack, you're like, oh, what did Pastor say? Well, there it is. That's a good place to put it, right? So anyway, just a little bit of advice. But today's message is called Inside Out. Now, how many of you guys remember a movie that came out in 2019 called, I think it's called The Last Christmas? Last Christmas. It's a movie. How many of you guys, Christmas is your favorite season. How many of you guys? Two of you guys? Three? The rest of you guys, what is your favorite season? Fourth of July? All right, your season's coming up. Do you like to burn things or set things on fire? Or?
I like the fireworks.
Fireworks, okay. Be careful. A lot of people have to be careful. I'll leave it at that. It's always an adventure whenever I have to do fireworks. So just an FYI. But Christmas is my favorite holiday, right? And if you guys remember that movie I was talking about last Christmas, it's a movie about a gal. Her name is Kate. You remember that? And she works at a year-round Christmas store. You remember that? And she's an elf. And it's funny because you got to watch it. How many of you guys have watched that movie? Okay, some of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about. Favorite movie right here. That's right. You got to watch it. It's a good movie. But what you find out, and I don't want to ruin the movie for some of you guys, but at the end of the day, she meets a young man named Tom, who she's talking to, and turns out the end of the movie, right, she's not making some good decisions in her life. And the young man named Tom comes in and starts meeting with him and talking to him. And towards the end of the movie, she kind of realizes something, that she has a connection to him, because ultimately he had been the person that donated his heart to her because she had a congenital heart disease. And that, through that, her whole life started to get transformed, right? Now, in a very similar fashion, some of us in here, we've lived our lives trying to do the best that we can. And similar to Kate, sometimes making some very poor decisions until we have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And then he comes in and changes our heart. Amen? And so today we're going to be spending some time in the book of Ezekiel. And we're going to be reading chapter 36. This is a very, very important passage. And I wish Ezekiel was here because this is all about his book. But we're going to learn about what God wants from us. But ultimately, God wants us to see a life that is transformed and a life that is committed and following him and in his precepts and his ways. Amen? All right, so let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. So we're going to be reading verses 18 through 38. Verses 18 through 38. You guys all there? Some of you guys? You're welcome to follow along on the screen, okay? Ezekiel 38 says, "So I," this is God, through Ezekiel, a prophet, says, "So I poured out my wrath on them because they had shed blood in the land and because they had defiled it with their idols. I dispersed them among the nations, and they were scattered through the countries. I judged them according to their conduct and their actions. And wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name. And it was said of them, 'These are the Lord's people, and yet they have to leave his land.' I had concern for my holy name, which the people of Israel had profaned among the nations where they had gone. And therefore I say to Israel, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: It's not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. And I will show the holiness of name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes." Okay, I'm going to pause right here. I don't know if you guys caught a pattern that you just said, but how many times did you hear the name of the Lord profaned in that first particular passage of Scripture? I counted 4 times, right? Now, you guys already know, right? What's the third commandment? Thou shalt what? Not use my name in vain, let alone profane it. Amen? See, what's happening in the book of Ezekiel is, go ahead and throw the map up on the screen. Perfect. So let's always talk about the context, right? I always say, you guys know, if you come to this, you've been coming to the church for a while, I like to teach about what's happening at the time, because every scripture is not just out in the air, hanging in the air. There's something that's happening. There's historical evidence that's happening. It's happening to people. And so the book of Ezekiel is written by who? Ezekiel. Yeah. Yeah. It's the smartest and most beautiful church in all of San Diego, California. Nothing gets by you guys. Sharp. That's why I like you guys. But it's written by Ezekiel. He's a prophet. And it's funny, when you start to study the Bible, you'll start to kind of piece things together. The prophet Ezekiel was called to do God's work, to be his voice, at the age of 30. But what's interesting is at the age of 25, he had been caught up in the second deportation. There's three big migrations or deportations that take place. What has happened, if you guys remember, in the year 606 BC, somebody came down. It's the Babylonians. So smart, I told you this. Because what has happened to the people keep doing what? They're worshiping false idols. They've forgotten who God is. And so what happens is that God raises up the Babylonians, and they come down, and they do what? They take them captive, right? They take, actually, Judah is seized in three different times. So there's three different times where the empire, or the Babylonian empire, which is right here, if you guys know that, right? That's why I bring this little map, because you guys like to see things. They come down here, and they start to wage war against, what, Israel. Now, in 1606 BC, there's a first group of Israelites that are taken. One of them, his name is Daniel. And he goes with his Hebrew friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Kemendigo. No, Abednego. But I always laugh because I was like, that sounds like Kemendigo, you know? Shadrach, Meshach, and Kemendigo. That's not a Hebrew name. That's just a... Some of you guys have a Kemendigo in your family, huh? I'm like, oh my gosh. But so Ezekiel is a contemporary of Daniel, right? It's kind of nice to piece together. There's also somebody that... So Ezekiel is called to prophesy, but he's called to prophesy where? Because I just told you guys, he's taken captive in the second migration, and so he goes through here, and he's down over here now. Now, if you guys know, I'm going to really test your geography here. What is this country called now? It begins with Iraq. Iraq. Like Iraq. No? You guys don't follow them? It's Iraq, right? Modern day Iraq is right here. This is where Babylon was. And so at the age of 30, which is interesting, he's taken captive when he's 25. At the age of 30, when he was supposed to have been actually charged to be a priest, if he was still in his hometown over here in Reedley, California, or Sanger, no, he actually is over here now. And this is where he's called to be a prophet. He's 30 years old. Ezekiel actually ends up being a prophet for 22 years, and he's speaking to the people of Israel. Now, he's in this area here. So he's called to be a prophet over the people who are already exiled into Babylon. Daniel had already been there for 6 years. Now, Daniel, if you guys remember that, had been called to minister, and his work was where? In the palace and in the government. In fact, Ezekiel references Daniel three different times in his book. But Daniel, you never hear referencing Ezekiel, because God is using different people. Now, here's the thing to remember, that God is good. Amen? You see, the people had been disobedient, and so he raised up the Babylonians to come down and say, I'm going to make you, the judgment is coming, right? And then actually it comes through the Babylonians. And so God still cares for his people, even when they didn't feel like God was there. And maybe that's you right now. Maybe you feel like your life is in exile, like you're under attack, like you're under siege, like you're living where you're not supposed to be. That makes sense? But the reality of it is God is still good. Why? How do we know that? Because he brings Daniel up out, and he's working in the government. He brings Ezekiel out to prophesy to the people who live in exile. Now, at the same time, and I'm going to get going, because you're like, that's a lot of history, Pastor. I hate history. No, that's you guys? You make that face too. All right. My wife doesn't like history. Because God is so good that there's somebody else that is prophesying over here. And he's a contemporary of Daniel, a contemporary of Ezekiel. His name is Jeremiah, right? And Jeremiah, he's prophesying to the people of the southern kingdom of Judea. And so all this to say is that the Bible is awesome, okay? You need to put it together. It's not like these things are happening in a vacuum. They're all put it, these are historical events. You can actually go and see what happens. And Ezekiel starts to give some very strong words, right? He starts to prophesy, and I'm going to fly through this, but the first like 24 chapters of his book are a book of warning. And then the middle chapters are a book of, here's the judgment, guys, right? And where we pick up in 36 is that you see God himself through Ezekiel saying, hey, you've been profaning my name out. The people in the nations have been profaning my name. But he says, listen, I'm going to do something. Why? For his own namesake. What's awesome about God, whether you believe it or not, is that even when you're not right, God is still going to be right. That God is good. In fact, he says, even though you don't deserve it, I'm going to step in and save the day for my own namesake. Because I have what? The covenant that he said with Abraham, did he forget about that suddenly? He didn't. He's still faithful to his people. Amen? Even though the people are not. So I know that's a lot of history. It's a lot of context. But it's important. Listen, I know. When other people come to gossip to you, I know you turn them away. Say, get away from me, Satan. I have nothing to do with that. But they usually want to tell you all the details. Right? Look, she's over here. She's like, yeah, I love the details. Tell me more. Let's do, who was there? What were you wearing? What time of day was it? What, Listen, that's other people, but not us. Because we say what? If we must gossip, what? Let it be about the gospel. Amen? So the details matter. So, that's the context of what's happening. Now, if you guys know, and I just kind of told you guys, he was 25 years old. The year is 597 BC. Something happens about 10 years later in 586 BC. So you guys know, when the Babylonians came across, there was three different, you know, it's like when a war is fought. It doesn't always happen at once, right? Happens in stages. The third stage of that war, something happened here that was terrible. Because my daily devotion with the kids, we're learning about how Solomon built the temple. You guys remember that? In 586 BC is when the Babylonians came in, set that bad boy on fire and destroyed it. Right? At the same time, something is happening there because that is where the presence of God lived. Do you remember that? That was where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And so now you see, if you read the book of Ezekiel, you're going to start to see a lot of visions, a lot of different things about, I read it to you guys earlier this morning, in the book of Revelation, about the angels. You guys remember that? And Ezekiel has visions and he sees different things and he says, has a vision of four different animals with two different wheels and eyes on it. You're like, that's weird. But on top of them is what? It's a platform that represents the glory of God. And where is that now? It's not in the temple because it's been destroyed. He's actually showing and he's now where? He's manifesting it over here in Babylon where Ezekiel is. He has that vision. Does that make sense? God is still present regardless of the situation and circumstance. Right? So let me keep reading. I know that was a lot. But let's keep reading and then we'll tie it all in together with some of the key points. And so in verse 24 it says, "For I will take you out of the nations and I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your impurities and your idols. I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put in you my spirit and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land that I gave your ancestors to be my people, and I will be your God. And I will save you from all uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful. You will not and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field, so you no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Then you will remember your evil ways and your wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourselves for your sins and detestable practices. I want you to know that I am not doing this for your sake, declares the sovereign Lord. Be ashamed and disgraced for your conduct, people of Israel. This is what the sovereign Lord says. On the day I cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt, and the desolate land will be cultivated again. Instead of lying desolate in the sight of those who pass through, they will say, this is a land that was laid waste because has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. When the nations around you that will remain, they will know that the Lord rebuilt them, have rebuilt what was destroyed, and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will do it. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Once again, I will use Israel's plea and do this for them. I will make their people as numerous as sheep, as numerous as the flocks of offering to Jerusalem during her appointed festivals. So will the ruined cities be filled with flocks of people. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Amen? Man, that's an awesome passage of Scripture. And it's a lot. I know. Some of you guys are like, that's too much. Okay? But nobody's fallen asleep so far. But be careful. I have the oranges right here. Okay? Let's break it down a little bit because it's a lot that we're covering. And so the first point we're going to be covering, and what we see here is that the transformation of the people of Israel, and even our own, begins with God's grace. The transformation really begins with God's grace. Time and time again, he says, listen, I'm not going to do this for you because you earned it. I'm going to do it for my own namesake because God is merciful, because he is full of grace, because he is kind. Verse 22, it says, this is what the sovereign Lord says, not for your sake, again, for the people of Israel. I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. So guys, even the name of God is holy. Do you know that even when people would read the Old Testament, and they would even not even say his name? The name we see it right now, often you see is, of course, we have Jesus Christ. He's come. He has a name. But in the Old Testament, he has a different name. It actually doesn't have any vowels, right? It's YHWH. What is it? It's Yahweh, right? And we spell it like, but if you, I always say, I saw a good thing. If you breathe quietly, breathe out loud, you guys say, it's almost like the breath of air, right? And it's funny because I heard it referenced as like the last thing that you, the first thing you do, right, when you're born is you're going to say his name. And the last thing you're going to do before you die is you're going to say his name again, right? Now, the world might say that he doesn't exist, but man, those of us as believers, we know that his name is powerful. And so what he's saying time and time again is that, listen, my name has been profaned among the nations and even by you. But what God is saying is like, listen, I'm faithful to myself. I'm going to do this because I'm merciful and kind and I don't break my covenants. Amen. So transformation begins with God's grace. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. How many of you guys in here have some kids that really deserve a lot of justice and wrath? Right? And what do you give to them instead? You give them love, huh? You give them grace and mercy. Now, sometimes you really feel like giving them the wrath. You really feel like giving them the justice. Amen? With measure. But listen, his explanation, what we're hearing is that He is going to restore them. They haven't earned it. Because what have the people of Israelites? The Israelites have what? They're rebelling. They're in idolatry. And they've forgotten who He is. As a parent, how does that make you feel when your kids are rebelling and they're acting a fool and all kinds of stuff? Does it make you want to? It doesn't make you want to, right? It makes you want to. Yeah, Pastor, can I take some of those oranges home? Right? But listen, because of your love, you do it anyway. Right? I've told you guys this my testimony before. I didn't know what it was like to love somebody sacrificially, unconditionally until I was a parent. And then I understood what Jesus, what God was talking about in John 3:16. Before that, it was just like a pie in the sky. When I learned that He sent His Son to die for my forgiveness of my sins, even though I didn't deserve it, man, it changed everything. Because I know what it is to love somebody like that. Amen? So listen, transformation begins with God's grace. You don't deserve it. A child, for example, in your home that's continuing disobeying and messing around and getting all kinds of trouble, right? Even though they're disobedient, like I said, you're going to still have a heart for them. Your heart grieves for them, right? It's tough. But keep holding on because God is faithful. God is good. Keep praying. Keep standing in the gap. Restoration comes not because the child deserves it, not because we deserve it, but because of our love. In the same way God loves us. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. Now, a lot of us in here, right, how many of you guys, you know, in your honesty, you can say, before you came to the Lord, you tried to fix things on your own a lot. Try to fix things on your own. I got this. I'm under control. I can do this on my own. That's a lie from the enemy, amen? And we need to be saved. That was my own testimony. I needed to be transformed, and it began when I accepted the grace that God had freely given me. The thing about this is that, listen, a lot of people here in this room, or maybe sometimes you believe that you need to try to do something to fix yourself, to earn your salvation. And the reality is, like, you can't do it. If you would have done that, you would have fixed it already. Does that make sense? You need to bring it to the one who can fix it. Like, how many of you guys have a project at home that you started, that you're going to try to fix something, and then it's like 2 years later, 3 years later, it's still broken apart, torn apart? Anybody? I see some finger pointing over here, one person over here. I'm guilty. But listen, and sometimes it's like we're over here watching YouTube videos. Well, I just need another part. I can fix it. The TV went out in our room, and I was like, I don't need a new TV. I can fix it myself. Oh, they're trying to take it apart. I need to order capacitors and soldering the board. And I was like, not local. The TV's not going to work, guys, right? Our lives are like that. We think we can fix our own lives. Listen, you're not going to fix it on your own. You could have done it. You would have done it already. We need God. We can't fix ourselves. We need God. And that comes from the grace that He gives us. So you need to stop earning His grace and just give it to God. Amen. The second thing that we've learned from today's reading, and that's out of Ezekiel 36:25. Is that God cleanses what sin has corrupted. God cleanses what sin has corrupted. In 36:25, it says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your impurities, from your idols. You see, the Israelites were worshiping false idols. They've fallen away. And they had totally forgotten, right? They had profaning His name. Even in the nation, His name was profaned. And so, listen, at the end of the day, God is merciful and kind, right? God cleanses what sin has corrupted. Now, every one of us in here in this room, we've sinned and hurt somebody, or we've been hurt by sin. Amen? But God is merciful and kind. He's the one that comes to cleanse the hurts and the pains and the traumas that we've experienced. Listen, on the flip side, the ones that you've caused too. Amen? We're not exempt from that. But He doesn't leave us there. He's merciful and He's good. See, before God changes our character, we have to do what? We have to acknowledge it. We can't just walk around and pretend like we're something that everything is fine. How many of you guys tried that before? Everything's fine. I'm good. And the reality is you're not. Sometimes we have to acknowledge that there is a problem. We got to bring it to God. But the people of Israel, they were sinning. And the reality of it is that their biggest problem, if you remember, why did God raise up the Babylonians? Was it because he was mad at them? What were they doing? They were sinning in open rebellion. So God responded. Amen? And so their problem wasn't a problem about an exterior problem. Their problem was a problem on the interior. That they were sinning against God and they had forgotten who he was. See, how many of you guys have ever now the men in the room, you guys know, sometimes you have different undershirts, usually white. You guys wear that? Right? And sometimes you have some undershirts that they're just white right here, but over here they have all kinds of stains. You have some? I have some. Just last Sunday, I was over here putting something away, and I was putting, and Stephanie's like, "You're really holy today." I said, "Oh, the word was good." No, she says, "No, your shirt's super holy right here." And she's out there. And I said, "We would throw the shirt away, right?" You guys have some holy shirts at home? All kinds of stains. And you cover it up with the shirt on top, right? You wouldn't normally go out there all dirty. Right? We do that with our life, right? We try to cover up the stuff that we don't want people to see. Amen? But listen, that stains, okay, yeah, you might have that Tide and that bleach. And that works for your clothes, but what about the stains on your soul, man? Who's going to clean that? Only Jesus Christ. Only the blood of Jesus saves. Only the blood of Jesus can take away and white what? Blot away our sins and our transgressions and make us white as snow. And so we have to stop playing games. God didn't come here just to make us good people. He came to save us. Right? We need to acknowledge that we are sinners before him. Because he's the one who can make us whole. And that starts with what? Being honest. You know, like how many, like this happened just yesterday. Christian, where is Christian? He's in the back. It was like 10:30 at night. Jaden comes into the room and he's like, "Christian asked me to tell you, he just threw up all over the bed." I was like, "Seriously? I'm tired, dude." And then part of me was like, maybe just a little bit. And I asked him, I said, "How much was it?" And it was like this or like this. And Jaden's like, "Maybe like that." So there I go. I was like, "All right, I'm going to go." This kid had thrown up across two beds on the floor, on the stuffed animals. I didn't know what the heck he... Yeah, I was just like, what is going on in here? So there we are, taking everything out, cleaning it, right? Here's where I'm going with this. When I walked into the bedroom, there was three towels put over it. I was like, "Why are these towels here?" He's like, he's trying to hide it, right? He was cleaning it. Yes, sure, buddy. But when I walked in there, it reeked, right? Like vomit, right? So I had to clean it up. Now Christian had to try to do what? Try to cover it. Try to hide it. Now, of course, I'm his parent, so I got up in there and cleaned everything out. But listen, the point of this whole thing is that you can't be like my son and try to hide these things. You got to bring them out into the open so that God could do something about it. And that means that you just have to start. Like, I know a lot of times it's hard. But pastor, you don't know. Like, listen. You got to find people that you can trust, people that love you, that can encourage you in your walk. You're not meant to do this alone. Right? The enemy wants to what? See you alone and pick you off like those National Geographic movies. Right? Where they're just kind of watching. There he is. She's all alone. Right where I want her. Right? That's the enemy. Yes or no? Man, when we stand together in unity and we're surrounded by the blood of Jesus Christ and we're surrounded with the Holy Spirit, what can the enemy do to us? But that means that we have to be real. And that means getting a little bit uncomfortable sometimes to say, brother or sister, I need you to pray for me right now because this is happening right now. Amen? And we're for each other, right? We're standing in the gap for one another. We want to intercede for one another, but we can't just be, shh, that's a secret. I don't want nobody to know. Let me tell you the secret. Your family's messed up like my family is messed up. But God is good. Amen? So let's stop playing games, guys. Just being honest. God can cleanse what sin has corrupted, and we need each other praying for each other. Amen? Yeah. So stop trying to hide what God already knows. He's faithful to forgive. He's faithful to restore. He can cleanse it, but it starts by being real. The third point from today's reading is that God can replace our heart, not just change our habits. God can replace our heart, not just change our habits. In verse 26, Ezekiel says, I will give you a new heart. And this is God speaking through Ezekiel, the prophet. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from your heart the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Amen? Man, I don't know about you guys, but how many of you guys were walking around with a heart of stone before Jesus Christ? Amen? It's the difference between life and death, I'll be quite honest with you. You see, this particular passage of Scripture, this is the focal point. This is the turnaround that we saw in Ezekiel, the warning, the judgment. Here comes the good news, right? And that God Himself is going to do a little bit of a heart transplant on every one of us when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, so over here, I have some stuff. You guys always know, like, I like to do object lessons kind of stuff. So over here, this is a real rock, by the way. This is not a prop, it's heavy, right? And over here, what God is saying is like, listen, your life without Jesus Christ, it's like you have this heart of stone. It's not a heart of flesh, right? What are the characteristics of a heart of stone? Is it somebody that's warm and kind? Somebody that's what? Angry and bitter? They're what? Somebody else over here? They're hateful? They're haters? Is that what I heard? Are they forgiving? They're unforgiving, right? This is what God is talking about. It's like, man, you had a heart of stone. You know, it's a hardened heart towards God is what? It's the only unforgivable sin. I don't know if you know that. A hardened heart towards God, callous to the word, is the only unforgivable sin. Everything else is faithful to forgive, except for the hardened heart, right? Now, here's the reality of it, though. Do people walk around boasting that they have a hardened heart? They don't, huh? They try to cover it up. So they walk around and they're putting all kinds of stuff on it, right? They have a hardened heart, and maybe they're just going to say, I don't want people to know that I have a hardened heart, so I'm going to put a smile on my face. See the smile? Can you see it? No? Better make a bigger smile. The problem with that is that what? You're still wearing it on the outside, right? And as soon as somebody cuts you off in traffic, as soon as you run into that coworker you can't stand, what happens, right? That smile is not a smile no more. It's like, now I'm mad. This is my mad, hardened heart face. Okay? See, on the outside, it's like whatever, but listen, you're still hard on the inside. Does that make sense? And God wants to transform you to say, listen, you can't fake it until you make it. Maybe I'm just going to say, oh, over here, and I'm going to put on some other stuff. I'm going to put little hearts right here because I'm just like, I want people to love me. I'm so loving. I'm so kind. But if somebody bumps you, right, you're still loving and kind, and you fall on somebody's foot, what happens? Broken toe. right? I know it's kind of funny, but I'm trying to make you guys see that the hardened heart is still, it's the inside that matters. Does that make sense? And you could try to do all these things and say, oh no, I'm going to make this pretty. Stephanie's for the coffee thing, she's going to take rocks and we're going to put hearts on them and flowers. Have you guys seen that? Sister, we need more crafts. Yes or no? That might be the next craft, okay? We don't have hardened hearts though here in this church, okay? But we might for somebody else. And you could try to do whatever you want to this rock, but this is still a rock, guys. Make sense? And God says, man, I don't want you to live your life like that. I want you to live the full life, the abundant life, the blessed life, right? So this is what the life without God looks like. It's a hardened heart. And everywhere you go, man, it doesn't matter. It's heavy. That's the other thing, too, is that when you haven't given it things to Christ, man, you're carrying all this load. It's heavy. Does that make sense? Walking around with all this stuff. God didn't make you to walk around with a hardened heart, heavy like this. He said, I came to give you a new heart, a heart of flesh. Now, you know what I see, too, around? Even sometimes in believers, people say like, oh, yeah, I got all kinds of fruit of the Spirit, Pastor. This is a plastic little grape thing, okay? This is a plastic little pomegranate, okay? Oh, look at my fruit of the Spirit. Guess what? But this is fake, guys. You guys know? It's still, you can look and act a certain kind of way, but guess what? The real? When it's convenient for you. Cuando te conviene. If I have time. Does that make sense? But not when it really requires my full walk, my full commitment with God. When it's convenient for me, I'll go. When I remember to read my Bible, I'll do it. When it's convenient. Does that make sense? But that's fake, guys. You think that Jesus Christ died on the cross so we can fake it? So I can just walk around and have like, this is my fake fruit of the Spirit. Walk around here. Look at this. With my fake fruit. You think people can't see it? Right? This is not in your walk of faith. You can't fake it until you make it. Everybody around you knows the true you. And if you're walking right with Jesus, people will know it. But if you're lying and deceiving, everybody's walking around. Who do you think that you're deceiving? But yourself. Does that make sense? He says, listen, I don't want to take away this hardened heart. I want to see you live the full life. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit so you can what? Have real fruit. Not just the fake version. So this is like games right now. And it's like sometimes we run into brothers and sisters like, I think Jesus is sick and tired. It's like, how about we be real and follow and do what he wants us to do? That makes sense? Enough with the fake fruit, guys. Now, some believers are walking around right here. This is pretty decent, right? If I cut this open and I put some salt on it and I use it on the cucumber. Oh, some of your tongues already. I saw all the juices were glowing, right? This is pretty good. It's okay. I mean, it's useful. Now, how about over here? I have an orange, right? I'm from Orange Cove. Right? With salt too? And some tahin. And over here I have some nectarines. I would take a nectarine over all these, right? See, listen, brothers and sisters, in your walk of faith, right? This is a hardened heart. No relationship with God. Forget it. We don't want any, nobody in here needs to be in this camp. Amen? God has given us, right, the ability. He wants us to produce and have a fruitful heart. But listen, at the end of the day, we get to pick and choose where we are on this table. Does that make sense? Because some of us are walking around and say, like, man, you're a lemon, but you want to be sweet. Right? You're a lemon, and no matter what, somebody you run into somebody, you squeeze them, it's like, sour. Right? And it has its purpose. God will do something with it. But man, it's not sweet. Amen? Right? Now the orange, a little bit more, a little sweeter. Right? For those of us who used to pick oranges and lemons back in the day, I love to pick oranges compared to picking lemons. Amen? Now this orange, a lot sweeter, right? But look at this orange. It's all messed up on the outside. It has all kinds of blemishes, huh? But this orange is still sweet on the inside. Amen? This is our life sometimes, guys. We might be all messed up on the outside. Things have happened to us, brothers and sisters. But God comes in to do a work on the inside. And it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. It doesn't matter your past. He says, listen, I don't care about all that. I care about the inside. See, if I start peeling this open, I have a knife right here. I did wash it. If I start peeling this open, what is it going to look like on the inside? It's going to look like, oh, see that? Like, the little citrus thing went in the air. Look at that. It smells good. Right? The inside is what matters, guys. We can't walk around and be like, oh, I want to be sweet on the inside, but we're not transforming it. God, we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work to transform us into the better version of how He wants us to live our life. We're called to be Christ-like. Right? Christ-like. Through and through. Not just on the outside. Not just fake it till you make it. Don't fake it. This is our life, guys. This orange right here. It's what's on the inside that matters. And God wants to transform you from the inside out. Does that make sense? But we have to allow Him to work. In that verse that we just read, it says that what? That He comes and He says, I'm going to give you a new heart, number one, and then I'm going to give you My Spirit. You see, in 586 BC, the temple was destroyed. Now, God gives you the greatest compliment to say, listen, when you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He comes to live inside you. Amen? You're the temple now. Make sense? Now, can the Spirit of the living God live? It's in conflict, right? We learned this in the book of Romans. There's that tension, the flesh and the Spirit, amen? And whatever's going to win is whatever we feed. So we have to let the Holy Spirit do its work within us to transform us. Now, I was going to open this one, but I'm probably going to bite this one later, okay? This one's mine. You can have the other one, okay? Look. Have the other one. God is good, amen? Because God, what? Can replace our heart, not just change our habits. Not just the things that we do, but God comes to change your heart. Man, don't we need a heart transplant for Jesus? Because our habits let us down, right? How many of us like, oh, I'm going to start doing this, I'm doing that. No, we need a heart transplant. Before I came to Jesus Christ, for a long time, I was trying to work myself out. You ever try to work your? I'm gonna fix all my problems, my anger issues, my pride. I could fix it on my own. If you ever go to my house, I have a section of in the hallway where I have all my books before I got saved. Self-help, everything. How to do this? How to do that? 10 ways to do that? I still haven't read the 10 ways to lose weight. I gotta read them. 10 ways to do all kinds of different things. You guys know that? You know the recipe? To a better you, a happier you, a successful you. I have all those books. But guess what? Would those things work? I was trying to change my habits. And I needed a heart transplant. And I shared this with you before. That I had such anger in my heart. And I knew I had anger and I wasn't happy about it. I had awareness that I needed to change, but I couldn't change it. I would put on, how old I am, I would listen to CDs in my car. They're like, what's a CD? It's a little device that you put into and it plays music. It was a self-help CD set because I was trying to deal with my anger. And so I would put in the tape, I would put in the CD, and I would drive to work. And he would say, if you are having problems with your anger, count to 10 before you respond. And repeat to yourself, I am in control of my emotions. And so I would do this in the car while people were cutting me off and be all mad, right? It didn't work. I needed a heart transplant, guys, long story short. But God has come, right, that we might go from death to life. That we might surrender with Him and have a better version, a the life that we want to live. I'll be quite honest with you guys. So we got to stop. Got to stop playing, stop pretending, and seek Him out. Because He gives us not a heart of stone, but what He gives us, a heart of flesh. Amen. A heart that is for Him. And so listen, if you're having a hard time, you know, like right now, John is falling asleep. I'm going to hit him with an orange. If you're having a hard time, right? It's okay. I'm the one with the mic, John. Sorry. The things of God are kind of like, oh, it's so boring. Listen, pray for the Holy Spirit to give you an appetite for the things of God. Right? Pray that God will, number one, you have to have the Holy Spirit living within you. So if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't be surprised that whatever I'm talking about is like, he's so boring. I can't stand him. He talks too much. Can somebody just tell him to shut up? It's because the Holy Spirit hasn't arrived. That makes sense? And listen, every one of us in here, before we were walking with the Holy Spirit, that sounded like terrible things. Like if I was, when I was in my heyday, when I was growing in my 20s, and I was listening to all kinds of world, the music of the world. You guys know, right? Who was my favorite rapper? Tupac, right? Right behind him was Biggie Smalls, right? That's not Christian music. If you gave me some Chris Tomlin back then, or even some Phil Wickham, I'd be like, oh, that's terrible. That music is awful. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit wasn't living within me. And I was trying to read the Bible one time because it's like the Bible is the number one book ever, every year, year after year. Did you know that? It's true. And I said, well, I better read it because I'm so smart, right? I started reading the Bible and I was like, this book is terrible. I can't believe it. Why? Because I didn't have the Holy Spirit. That makes sense? So when God gives you, he takes your heart of stone and he gives you the Spirit changes you from the inside. Does that make sense? From the inside out. Now I desire the things of God. Now I want to go to Bible study. Now I want to get into the Word. Now I love going, you know, when I can, to the Bibles and Burgers. I like to hang out with the fellowship of the believers. Does that make sense? Because the Holy Spirit lives here. Right? Now before that, I won't have nothing to do with that. My brother would invite me to church and I was like, man, I'm good. That's for you. I don't want to go sing Kumbaya like Jesus and the guitar. That's what I thought people did at church. But the Holy Spirit comes to live within us and he changes our hearts. He changes our proclivities. And then when we're around people in the world, we're like, oh, I can't do that anymore. Because now I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Now I see that I was like, oh man, that's not good. Right? But that comes, right, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Which is the fourth point. God empowers us through His Spirit. God empowers us through His Spirit. Verse 27 says, and I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my law. Listen, see, it's hard to follow God's law if you're not filled with the Spirit. The flesh is contrary to the Spirit. Does that make sense? And we are not saved yet. Don't be surprised. Oftentimes we, you know, here's the deal. We're believers, we're brothers and sisters, and we want people to fall in love with Jesus. We want people to listen to His commands when they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? First comes the acceptance, and then comes the transformation. But we want people to fall in line to say like, oh, why can't you just do... Because they can't. They're bound by the flesh. Right? That's why step one is we need to accept Jesus as our Savior. And in this passage of Scripture, God is speaking and He's reminding the people of Israel that He will empower them. This is the good news, brothers and sisters. The good news is that God is faithful. That He sends His Holy Spirit, that He's kind and merciful, and He transforms our heart. Amen? And the Holy Spirit then convicts, helps us to graduate from this hard as stone after we trust Jesus, to the fake it till you make it, pretending, till you're saved, but you're still a little bitter, still a little sour, to you're saved and you're being transformed from the inside out. You got some scars still, and now you're a beautiful nectarine. I'm kidding, right? But I'm just giving you guys a visual so you can see it. What we want to do is work our way right to be more like Jesus Christ. Not that we're ever going to be Him, but that He works in us, that we see, right? The fruit of the Spirit is evident in our lives. And it's not in your own strength and ability. If you're struggling with the things of God, you need to pray to the Holy Spirit to change your heart. Does that make sense? Because listen, God is so good. I'm telling you, when you really start to peel the layers back, God is so good. He made a way through Jesus Christ. He sent the Holy Spirit. He gave you His words. He changes your heart. And it's not even on your own. All you have to do is surrender. Right? Just surrender. Stop fighting. Give it to God. Let the Holy Spirit take over. Surrender. Ask Him to just say, hey, I can't do this on my own. You know, I know brothers that say, I can't, I hate reading. Newsflash, you better read this Bible. I don't care whether you like to read or not. You better be in your Word. Amen? I don't like to do that. I don't like to share. I don't like to talk. Newsflash, you can't do the 52 others that are in the New Testament on your own. But I can pray to God anywhere I want. Yeah, you can. But you're robbing yourself of being part of the fellowship. Does that make sense? So it's God who empowers us through the Holy Spirit, even when we don't feel like it. Because the more I know about in my own walk, God is really, doesn't He, like how I feel is like that big. Here's the reality of it. Here's a newsflash to you. And you're going to be like, this is going to crush you. God doesn't care about how you feel. Because God is not in the business of feelings, guys. Do you know what I mean? That feeling is fleeting, how you feel. Today I feel like eating a hamburger. Tomorrow I feel like doing this. No, God is in the business of transforming us and meeting us where we are. And that's not a feeling. That's a commitment. That's a conviction. Does that make sense? Because when you start to walk the way that God wants you to walk, it's not about your feeling. It's about recognizing that you need to say, shh, kayate, to that feeling. And be obedient and humble to what God is calling us to do. Amen. And the closest thing that I can always say, and you hear me say this time and time again about being a parent, because if you really did what you felt like doing as a parent, a lot of us would be in jail. All right? Amen. Yeah. A lot of us would be like, no, I don't. Yes or no? Amen, right? It's not about the feeling is what I'm trying to say. Listen. And I even say this, I'll close with this. Even when people say, like, do you love? Do you know what it means to love? The way that God loves. That's not a feeling. Do you know what I mean? It's an action. It's something that is lived out that I know, as sure as I'm standing here, that God loves me. I don't have to. There's days where I feel like whatever. I know those are all lies. I know in my bones that God loves me. And you need to know in your bones that God loves you too. And that's not an emotion. That's not a feeling. Because as God was raising up the Babylonians against His own people to teach them, you think that He's like, oh, I feel like doing this. No. It's a conviction that sees us through. It's something stronger and deeper, right? Nothing is stronger than the love of God. That's what I'm trying to tell you guys, is that the feeling is like, yeah, when I feel like it. But God's love is something that's like, man, steadfast. It's there for us. Does that make sense? All right. So, just bring this to a close. Listen, some of us in here, right, we're focused on changing our habits, on the exterior things, but we need to be changed from the inside out. It starts with trusting Jesus Christ. It starts by allowing the Holy Spirit to work. and then being obedient and allowing the Holy Spirit to empower you. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord God. In the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord, thank you, Lord God, for the words that for the words that are given to us, Lord God, by the prophet Ezekiel. Thank you for the reminder, Lord God, that you are good and you are kind, you are faithful. Lord, that you are not determined, Lord God, by our circumstance, Lord God. Your love for us is not determined by external relationships, Lord God, by our image, our finances, Lord God. You don't care about any of that, Lord God. Today, you are focused on us. Every day. And Lord, our greatest desire and our greatest need is not a new circumstance or a new habit, Lord God. Our greatest need is to be transformed and to be renewed, Lord God, and to be forgiven of our sins. And that only comes if we're trusting you as Savior, Lord God. So it's my prayer this morning, Lord, that you would help us, Lord God. If there's anybody in here that doesn't know who you are, that they would truly repent, walk away from their ways, Lord God, and surrender their life to you. You are Lord. And you are God. And Lord Jesus, you came to die a terrible death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. But Lord, you are so kind and merciful. But you left heaven, Lord God, to take on human form. And you are God. And you're human at the same time. And you suffered an awful death, Lord God, for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord God, I just pray right now that we would not take that for granted, that we remember, Lord, what it cost. And Lord, some of us in here, Lord, we need to continue, Lord, to renew every single day. We need to remember, Lord God. We need to keep being transformed, Lord. It's not just a one and done, Lord. Yes, we are brought from death to life, Lord, but you didn't leave us there. Help us to continue to trust you, Lord, in all things. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Continue, Lord God, to help us to repent of our sins. Make us clean, Lord God, like we read today. Cleanse us. And if there's little areas of our heart, Lord God, or maybe, yes, we receive salvation, but there's still a little area that we're holding on to ourselves, Lord God, or our heart might be hardened towards somebody or something or a situation, circumstance. Will you come to allow us, Lord God, to just turn that up? And Lord, create in us, Lord, the full heart of flesh. Lord, we can't be holding on to pride and unforgiveness, Lord. We can't be holding on to secret sin, Lord, or disobedience, and expect that we're going to have this great relationship with you, because you could have nothing to do with sin. You could have nothing to do with darkness. You are glorious, Lord God. You reside in light. And so, Lord God, today, help us, Lord, to stop playing games, Lord God, and to live for you. Fill us, Lord God, with the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we don't want to just change on the outside, Lord. We want to change on the inside first. New us, restore us, Lord God, transform us. And Lord, thank you again. As we get too busy, Lord God, we come before you and we confess that we are sometimes preoccupied with what the world is thinking, Lord God, and we should be worried and preoccupied about what you think. And Lord, your will tells us that we'll be blessed if we follow your commands, your decrees. So Lord, put those on our heart, Lord God, impress them upon our heart. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and empower us, Lord, to walk in your way, to be more like you, Lord Jesus. Bless our week, Lord God. Keep us safe. Help us to dig in, Lord God, to your presence, to spend time with you, to be in the fellowship of believers, Lord God, know you more, and to make you known. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.